Tony Broom Ministries presents the old-time preaching of God's Word for a new generation. This message comes from Ezekiel chapter 1, entitled, The Man of Fire on the Throne. Ezekiel chapter 1 has what is known as the foundation vision. The foundation vision says that this is what I'm showing you, because you've got to have something to be able to make sense when everything else is in chaos. You've got to have something you can fall back on. You got to have something you can lean on. When the world starts leaning on you, you got to have something you can lean on. Song said, lean on me when I'm not strong. I'll be your friend, help you to carry on. Lean on me. Well, don't lean on me. Lean on somebody a whole lot bigger than you and I. I want to talk to you about the man of fire on the throne. The man of fire on the throne, in Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 26 through 28. Ezekiel chapter 1 opens with God introducing the man of God to us. Ezekiel is telling us who he is, but he's trying not to talk too much about himself, because he wants us to know about that man that's on the throne. He doesn't want us to focus on Ezekiel. He wants us to focus on the God of Ezekiel.
That's right.
Who is the same God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Yes.
Chapter begins to tell us that the visions of God came expressly unto me. And he sees this fire that is like wrapped around itself. And it's described in the King James Bible as a fire that is enfolding itself. And the fire is there. The glory of the Lord, the appearance. And all throughout his book, he refers to it as, this is like what I saw in the vision, the appearance of the vision by the river of Kibar. This is like what I saw. And God reminded him several times in the book, all throughout the book. It's quite a long book, by the way, 47, 48 chapters. And you need to be reminded about the foundation vision. You need to be reminded about your roots. It's not the roots of that tree in the ground, but it's a whole lot deeper than that. It's the roots of Pentecost. It's the roots of sanctification. It's the roots of salvation. It's the roots of salvation by grace. It's the roots of the blood of Christ. And it's the roots of heaven is sweet and hell is hot. It's the roots of there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. We've got to be reminded of our roots. There are a lot of things in this world that don't make sense. Ezekiel experienced a lot of those in his day. God told him to do some things that didn't make sense to us. He told him to lay on his side for a long time, and then you had to roll over and lay on your other side for a long time. That doesn't make sense to us. We roll over and lay on our side and go to sleep and don't seem like we're there in no time till we done kicked the cover and rolled over to the other side, and then we grab the cover and pull it back. By that time, we done rolled over to the first side we came from again. I'm glad we don't have 10 sides. Because we wouldn't know what side we was on. Some people don't know what side they're on. They don't have but two sides. There's either the side of right or the side of wrong, side of God or the side of the devil. It's not hard to decide what side you're on. God told Ezekiel to speak to the people. He told him to do all these things. He told him to draw and to write. He tells him to take a pan and prophesy against it. Set it up as though it's an iron pan, a city. Set it up and prophesy against it. Act real. Get down. What's that expression? Get down and get dirty. Well, that's what God told him to do. And the elders of the nation, the priests and the people of Israel, they made fun of him. They didn't understand what he was trying to do, and everybody seemed to be against him. And when it seemed like he started to get discouraged, He was all of a sudden taken back to that vision that he saw by the river of Kibar, when the glory of the Lord starts coming down, and there's a wheel in the middle of a wheel, and he sees the glory of God, the four cherubim creatures that are made expressly to praise and worship God. They got these wings and they got these faces, and they're strange looking beings, but their sole purpose is to praise and to worship God and to give glory to God. I'd like that kind of job, won't you? Can you give me that job description? What's my job description? Let it be to praise and worship God. Leads God's people into praise and to worship. Leads God's people to know more about that man of fire that's sitting on the throne. Ezekiel sees the fire, and in verse 13, by the time you get to verse 13, the fire visits you again, and you get to the place where you can't hardly stand it. The four living creatures, they let up their wings and they let down their wings, and they cry holiness to the Lord.
Yes.
In verse 26, above the firmament that was over their heads, that is over the heads of these four living creatures of praise, was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone. It's nothing like you'd never see in this world. And as the likeness of the throne, the likeness as the appearance of a man above upon it. There's a man that sits on that throne. And he's a man that is revealed in the Old Testament as the angel of the Lord. He's a man that came into this world. He's a man that lived and died on the cross. He's a man that's sitting at the Father's right hand. And he's a man that will come again one day in power and glory. I saw, as it were, the color of amber as the appearance of fire round about within it, from the appearance of his loins even upward, and from the appearance of his loins even downward. I saw, as it were, the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about. Don't you tell me that this won't bless your heart and give you the blessing you need in the time of chaos, in the time of pandemic, in the time when your family seems to be confused. And don't tell me that you don't need a blessing of fire, and don't tell me that you don't need to know that man of fire that sits on the throne. Praise God, he's the same one that was in the fiery furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He's the same one that calmed the fevered brow by the shores of Galilee. He's the same one that called Lazarus out of the grave. I'm talking about that man of fire that sits on the throne. As the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. He saw like a rainbow. Noah came out of the ark, and God said, I'm going to make a covenant with you, and it will come to pass when I send a cloud over the earth that I will see this bow in the cloud. And as long as that rainbow is in the cloud, I'll remember my covenant with you that I will not destroy the world by a flood anymore. And God has a covenant with us through the blood of Jesus Christ. It's not a covenant of a rainbow. It's not a covenant of a lamb slain in the temple, but it's the covenant of fire. It's the covenant of the blood of Jesus Christ. God has a covenant. In Israel's covenant, they messed it up because they broke the covenant. And God said, you broke my covenant, but I will make a new covenant with you, with the house of Israel, not according to the covenant that I made with your fathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because that's my covenant that they broke. But this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days. I will write my laws. I will stamp my laws into your heart and into your mind. And you won't have to tell everybody, all right, Andy, brush your teeth. All right, Junior, get up and go to church. You won't have to teach every man his brother and every man his neighbor to know the Lord, because all are going to know me from the least to the greatest. I'm talking about that man of fire on the throne. I'm talking about the covenant. You could have broken, and they did break the old covenant, but you can't break the new covenant. You can get out of it, but you can't break it. If you get out of it, that's your problem. You and the devil is the only one that's going to pay for that. That's your problem. You get out of the new covenant, you can get out of it, but you can't break it. You know why you can't break it? Because the new covenant is not between you and I. The new covenant really is not even between God and us. The new covenant is between God and His Son, and nobody can break that new covenant. He sees the rainbow round about the throne. And you know what's in heaven right now this evening? Pastor Ronnie teaches us about it in the book of the Revelation. In chapter 4, when the doors open, come up here. He sees the throne. That's that same throne that Ezekiel saw. God ain't got no new throne. He didn't trade in His throne like we do our car every 4 or 5 years. God help us and forgive us. Why in the world would we want to go in debt again every 4 years? We do. Sometimes you have to. Because horses don't walk on 4 legs anymore. They got to have 4 wheels. It's a wheel in the middle of a wheel. But what's in heaven? That throne is there. And God is still on that throne. And around the throne there are 24 elders, and there's a rainbow. The rainbow is still there. Because what God made with Noah, His promise still stands. Noah, in Hebrew, Noah means rest. God says, I'll give you rest. You've had toil, you've had turmoil, you've had trouble. But come unto me, you who are labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He sees around about the throne this rainbow of color and fire and rest. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. This is like the vision that he saw by the river of Kibar. This is the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. When Ezekiel saw this vision, and he saw it several times in the book of Ezekiel, and when he saw it, he either saw it initially or he saw it and was taken back to it. He never got over the vision that he saw by the river of Kibar. And this is part of that vision all the way through chapter 1. He never gets over it. And at the end of chapter 1, now he sees more than just a firmament. Now he sees more than just the 4 living creatures of praise. Now he sees more than just clouds and fire. He sees a throne, and he sees a man that is sitting on the throne. He cannot see his face, but he can see from his loins upward and from his loins downward. And the big characteristic that stands out is fire. When I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spoke. When you see what Ezekiel saw, you will do like he did. You will fall upon your face in worship and adoration and admiration to God, proclaiming Him as Lord and God Almighty. That song that said, good God Almighty. They better watch their language. I'm talking about a holy God. You don't just spout out no new thing like that, no neo thing in the face of God. God is good, and He's almighty, but He is revered. He is to be feared and respected above all. I fell upon my face, and I heard the voice of one who spoke. When he said, I fell upon my face, at least 5 times throughout the book of Ezekiel, we find him doing that. When it happens to him, he falls on his face. 3 objects with 1 main focus are seen here. The objects are the throne, the fire, and the man. And the focus is, of course, the man of fire on the throne. There's no other throne like this one. There have been some pretty thrones. There have been some majestic thrones. There have been some big thrones. I thought about this little guy, Joash, that was, 7 years old? They had to pick him up and sit him on the throne because he was a little runt like I was when I was little, and I'm still, well, anyway, I won't go there, but We focus on the man on the throne. Don't worry about Tony. But Joash was real little. They had to pick him up and set him on the throne because the throne was so big. This throne in Psalm 9:4 talks about it. You sat in the throne judging rightly. This is the only throne that is really righteous in judgment. This is the only throne that really judges righteously. The judgment of righteousness is not in London and Moscow and Washington or even in Jerusalem. The real throne of justice and righteousness is in heaven. You sit, and it says here, past tense, sat in the throne judging rightly. Verse 7, the Lord has prepared His throne for judgment. His throne is for judgment. He is the only real king, the only real judge. Psalm 11:4, the Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, His eyelids try the children of men. If you think for one moment that God is up there and done lost His mind and done lost His focus and not caring about what people do anymore, you've got another thought coming. God is still in control. He's still on the throne. He's still the judge. He's still the king. He is still God Almighty. And when it looks like and seems like that God is not doing anything, in one sense that's true. God is always doing something. But when it's like God is not doing anything, it's because He's waiting on us to do something. We're always thinking about what God might be doing and why God's not doing this and why God is not doing that. And all the time He's saying, I'm waiting on you. If you're waiting for me, you're backing up. Psalm 45 talks about that throne. Verse 6, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of Thy kingdom is a right scepter. God quoted this in Hebrews chapter 1, and we know there that God the Father was actually saying this to God His Son. Thy throne, O God. God is saying that to God. That's like a rose is a rose is a rose. But God the Father says concerning and to God the Son, Thy throne, O God. He calls Jesus God. In that cultic religion that teaches that Jesus was a good man, but He wasn't God, it's going to hell with the people who put it out. Because Jesus is God. Jesus is God just as much as the Father is God, just as much as the Holy Ghost is God. And by the way, they don't believe in a Trinity either. God is one God. Yes, He is. But He's one God in three persons. Blessed Trinity. Thy throne, O God, is forever. It will never pass away. The kingdom is a righteous kingdom. Psalm 47 verse 8, God reigneth over the heathen. They might not like it, they might not want it, but they can't do a cotton picking thing about it. Because God reigns over the heathen. God sitteth upon the throne of His holiness. They may not listen to God, but God has a throne of holiness. His throne of holiness. And just because we have holiness in our Pentecostal name, that in itself doesn't give us any more entitlement to the throne than anybody in the world who doesn't even have the church to go to. If you know the God I'm talking about on the throne, you have just as much right to be in His presence as a high bishop in the high church. God sits on the throne of His holiness. Psalm 89 verse 14, justice and judgment are the habitation of Thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before Thy face. There is no iniquity around that throne. There's no disease where that throne is. There's no sickness where that throne is. There's no pain or trouble or sorrow anymore where that throne is. Psalm 93 verse 2, Thy throne is established of old, Thou art from everlasting. God was not born yesterday. He didn't fall off a turnip or potato truck. He has always been. He is from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. Yes. Psalm 97, last part of verse 2. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. God lives in the very presence of pureness and holiness and righteousness and mercy and truth and love. Psalm 103, verse 19. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. God's got a throne ready before this world, before you and I and anything else were ever thought about. God had his throne ready, and he has prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. We may not see it all right now, but it's still real. His kingdom has been. His kingdom is in us, and his kingdom will come. Thy kingdom come. We're supposed to pray that. There's no throne like this one. The man on the throne. Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. There's no other man like this man. This is the same man that Ezekiel saw. This is the same man that Daniel saw. This is the same man, as I already said, that were in the boys in the fiery furnace with him. This is the same man that was in the lion's den. This is the same man that was with Jonah in the belly of the whale. He brought him out. Same man that parted the waters of the Red Sea. Same man that made the stars and flung them into place. God, you reign. God, you reign. No wonder we can sing the song. John 1:14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The man on the throne came in the form of the Son of God. He was born of a virgin in a manger in Bethlehem, and he came to save us all. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In the person of Jesus Christ, he comes. The Word becoming flesh was made flesh and dwells among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. There's a throne, and there's a man on that throne. There's a man like no other man. He's a Pharisee of 10,000 to my soul. He is like no other. He is a lily of the valley. He is a rose of Sharon. He is a bright and morning star. There is none like him. He is the one who will save you. He is the one who caused you to be born again. He's the one who will give you a purpose to get up every morning. Instead of saying, good Lord, this morning, you can say, good morning, Lord. You can get up and praise God with a purpose. You don't have to be like Jimmy Durant, who couldn't sing a lick, by the way. You got to get up each morning with a song, even when things go wrong. He made a lot of money doing that, and he couldn't sing a lick. You got people in the Holy Ghost Church can sing beautiful. They don't make any money, but that's all right. They'll be rewarded. There's a throne. There's a man on that throne. And there's fire about that throne. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. John the Baptist, he looks like Elijah, smells like Elijah, preaches like Elijah. He wasn't Elijah, but he came like a type of Elijah. And he preached. And he preached the baptism of repentance. He said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. We need the Holy Ghost and fire in our generation. The fire that will blow away confusion. The fire that will blow away a virus. The fire that will blow away a pandemic. The fire that would blow away a controlling government. The fire that would blow away a totalitarianism that would try to take us over. Make communists out of Americans. Who in the world would have ever dreamed that such an evil phenomenon would happen in our lifetime? This is the fire that I'm talking about. The Hebrew boys need to be saved from fire. You and I are saved to fire. Not to hellfire. We're saved from hellfire. But we're saved unto the sanctifying fire. You should have been there when the fire fell. When the Lord sanctified me. And that fire is just a result of it. Whether you feel fire or not, you can believe on God and you can declare yourself a sanctified person. And you may not feel a thing then, but sooner or later, when you feel like you believe it, you believe like you feel it, and if you believe like you feel it long enough, you'll feel what you believe. Praise God, hallelujah. He will baptize you. I baptize you in water to repentance. But this man that I'm talking about, the man of fire on the throne that I'm talking about, he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And it happened on the day of Pentecost. They were there, all of a sudden comes the Holy Ghost into that upper room. They were gathered together in one place in one accord, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. The sound of a rushing mighty wind filled the house where they were all sitting. There appeared to them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. We need in our latter day generation a baptism of fire. We need in our generation the utterance of the Holy Ghost. We need in our generation of sons and daughters to prophesy, to see visions and dream dreams, not being kooky out there in left field somewhere. But it's for the purpose of God. You can tell when it's in the Spirit or not, when it's in the Holy Spirit or a horrible spirit. There is a difference between the Holy Spirit and the spirit of some man or woman somewhere. Got their face in the clouds too long. Got their hand or their tongue or something in a spoiled coffee cup that ain't been washed out in 6 months. And they got poison in their system. And they've been listening to stuff they shouldn't listen. And they've been watching stuff they shouldn't watch it. And by the time they try to make some sense out of all of it, the whole thing is polluted and poisoned. What I'm talking about will do you good. It will purify your heart, purify your mind. It will purify your tongue. You won't be talking about the preacher. You won't be talking about your neighbor. You won't be putting nobody down. There's no way you can win your family to God when you're against them, when you blast them, when you talk about them. I was thinking about making a sermon, how to keep your family from knowing God. You just got to never get along with them. You always got to put them down. You always got to make fun of them. You never want them to come see you. You never want to agree with them on anything. This sermon could have a lot of points to it. That's just the way that you do. If you don't really want nobody to get right with God, all you got to do is just keep on being ornery and contentious and contentious and all that. You won't have to worry about it. Anybody getting saved and get right with God. Just keep on being a stinker and nobody will get right with God. What I'm talking about is this gets in your tongue. David in the Psalms said his praise was in my tongue. And if that's true in the Psalm, just think how much more it should be true now in the New Covenant after the day of Pentecost. Spirit of God comes upon them. It sits on each of them. I don't have to have the bishop's Holy Ghost. I don't have to have the preacher's Holy Ghost. I don't have to have preacher religion. Preacher religion will toss you about. Long as your man's here, you're doing good. You can be like Tammy Wynette, stand by your man. What about when your man leaves town? What about when he dies? What about when something happens to him? Your God's done gone because you've got your religion in him. You got your trust and faith in some man somewhere. The man I'm talking about with fire on the throne, he'll never die. He'll never let you down. You don't have to worry. You put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. It don't matter who the bishop is. It don't matter who the preacher is. This man I'm talking about will always be the same. The Holy Ghost sits on each of them. We can have all our own individual experience with God. We can have our own individual Pentecost. And even though it was individual, it ended up being the same. Because they all did the same thing. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they all began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. We are, like Philippians chapter 2 says, to be like lights, lighted torches in the world, holding forth the word of light. There's a man that sits on the throne this evening. His name is Jesus. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is God Almighty. He's more than a good man. He's more than a good teacher. He's more than a good prophet. He is the Son of God. He's God the Son. He is the King of Kings. There's none other like Him. Fire envelops His face. Fire. No man has seen God at any time. God told Moses, "You cannot look at me and live. Nobody can see my face and live." John saw the glorified Christ, and he fell at his feet like a dead man. The one I'm talking about had feet like brass and eyes like fire. I heard a great voice saying, "Come up higher." I'm talking about this man of fire on the throne. This man of fire on the throne is the one who is really the pastor of the church. Everybody wonders who's going to be the pastor of the church, who's going to do this and who's going to do that. And I'm thinking, I don't know. Why don't you come on and help us find out instead of asking so many questions? If you take your ruler and measure your nose on your face like this, I did mine. It came out about 2 inches. I'm thinking, good grief of Moses. 2-inch nose? No wonder I've got problems. Some people got a nose 6 inches long. They do. That's a little boy right there. He agrees with me. He knows what you're talking about. Yeah. And you're talking about being blind. Being blind's bad, but some folks are narrow-minded. So narrow-minded, their ears rub together. Yeah. The man on the throne that I'm talking about, he will never let you down. He will be with you in the darkest hour. And if for some reason the enemy is allowed to take you out, he's not really taking you down because you're going up. You can't lose with the stuff I use. See, a black man said that, but a white man can say it too. You can't lose with the stuff I use because what I use is not man-made religion. What I use is the man on the throne. Father, we thank you for your presence. We thank you that we know the man. We know the Son of God. We know Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. And I pray this evening that everybody would know him. All we have to do is do like Ezekiel did. Just come into his presence. The song said, come into his presence with thanksgiving in your heart and give him praise. We come before you, bowing at your throne, worshiping you, glorifying your holy name. The scripture said that we read, there was fire enveloping the throne, and there was fire all over this man, from the appearance of his loins upward and from the appearance of his loins downward. Lord, we live in a world of confusion, but help us not to be known as people of confusion, people of causing trouble. You better watch him. You better watch her. Lord, help us not to have that reputation. Help us to have the reputation of being one. It's all right to be around him. It's all right to be around her. They'll do you right. They'll do you good. They'll lift you up. They'll cause you to want to worship God. They'll cause you to want to praise God. We thank you, Jesus, that you are that man of fire on the throne. We thank you that we know you. We thank you that we love you. And we thank you that you are our friend, our brother, our king, our priest, our God Almighty. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Can we give the Lord some praise this evening?
You have been listening to the old time preaching from God's Word, Ezekiel chapter 1. The title has been The Man of Fire on the Throne. We know he's no other than Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Lord of glory. Let him save you today and let him be your Lord. This has been a production of Tony Broom Ministries.